Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Cyrus Khan of Allegheny Health Network about updates in the treatment of chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Right now, in chronic lymphocytic leukemia. Thank you very much for joining me today, Dr. Khan, to talk about chronic lymphocytic leukemia with a specific focus on the recent FDA activity. Can you start by discussing the recent approval of zanubrutinib for this disease, and what is the potential impact of this approval?
Sure, great question. So, of course, zanubrutinib is the third BTK inhibitor that's approved recently for CLL and SLL, both in frontline setting and, of course, relapse setting was there already. So we can use it frontline now, and it's a welcome addition. It's the second generation BTK inhibitor. We previously had ibrutinib and then, of course, acalabrutinib. So good data. I mean, slightly different side effect profile than each of them. So it's always good to have some options available to us in case patients need it. So all in all, a good addition, has good data behind it supporting it too.
What are the key takeaways from the Alpine and Sequoia studies?
Sure, great question. So the Alpine study, of course, compared zanubrutinib in relapse refractory CLL patients with ibrutinib. In the relapse refractory setting, second line setting. So, you know, that kind of showed if you follow those patients over a period of time, showed a, and this was superiority trial. So it set off to show that zanubrutinib is superior than ibrutinib. And it showed that the PFS progression-free survival was better. Of course, we don't have data yet about the overall survival since that takes many, many years. But it also showed that in some respects, the side effect profile was cleaner as well, particularly in cardiovascular areas. So lesser AFib, flutter, and overall cardiac disease as well. So, you know, the key take point is that in this day and age, if we have to start a patient on a BTK inhibitor for CLL, SLL, probably using a second generation BTK inhibitor like zanubrutinib or acalabrutinib is the better choice rather than ibrutinib. As far as Sequoia is concerned, that was a frontline study comparing zanubrutinib to patients with bendamustine rituximab in a frontline setting. So 6 months of BR versus, of course, continuous zanubrutinib. And that also showed at 2 years at least that BTK inhibition was better. PFS, I believe, was almost 84% or so in zanubrutinib, and it was also almost the same for patients with 17p deletion, which is a high-risk disease. So certainly beat out frontline chemotherapy as well.
Last year, there was an important ODAC meeting discussing the future of PI3 kinase inhibitors in the chronic lymphocytic leukemia space. How did the outcome of this meeting impact the field?
So again, we've had PI3 kinase inhibitors since actually almost the BTK inhibitors were approved, 7 years ago or so. The first being idelalisib, then we had the IV copanlisib, then of course we had duvelisib, which is oral, copanlisib being the only IV. And then more recently, a few years ago, we had umbralisib come out, but they've withdrawn their application for, so it's not no longer available on the market. And the problem with these drugs has been sort of the side effect profile, right? So we've had a lot of autoimmune problems come up, pneumonitis, transaminitis, colitis, et cetera, infectious complications. And then somehow in some of the studies, the overall survival has been poorer on PI3 kinase inhibitors rather than the standard of care, whatever they were being compared to. So the ODAC sort of went back and saw, you know, what should we do about this? And so the decision was that any new PI3 kinase inhibitor that has to be approved, they have to really show phase 3 data, comparative data, rather than accelerated approval. So that means, you know, we can no longer have accelerated approvals of PI3 kinase inhibitors. And they have to do a longer study showing actually a overall survival benefit over the standard of care. And that will weed out any potential problems that come up with using PI3 kinase inhibitors. So this decision really impacts in a way where, you know, naturally the drugs that are available now, whether we can use it or not, and that future approvals might be slower as well. Doesn't really impact CLL much, honestly. We never used to use a lot of PI3 kinase inhibitors because typically we use, you know, BTK inhibitors or venetoclax-based regimen, clinical trials, and only then do we look at these PI3 kinase inhibitors. So at the very least, now we have duvelisib available to us. But again, I don't think it's a big share of our treatment protocols in CLL. Good addition, but I do think this was a good decision so we can make it safer for PI3 kinase inhibitors to be used.
Thank you, Dr. Khan. Now, what can you tell us about the phase 3 DUO study?
Yeah, so the phase 3 DUO study compared duvelisib against ofatumumab. And once again, it was mainly because of these issues that I described, the toxicity profiles that have been looked at. And that is the main reason why they could improve overall survival benefit. And so that is why the application was withdrawn, as we saw with some of the other PI3 kinase inhibitors in a similar fashion as well. And I think the usage also, of course, all these novel agents, we kind of use in a fashion where we continue them until progression or toxicity. And I think in the future, if some of these drugs have to come out, probably a more time-limited treatment would be better, so you don't expose the patients to the long-term toxicity of these drugs. So we might see in the future, if at all, use it for 6 months, 12 months, perhaps buy some time until they can go on to other drugs or clinical trials or try to reduce them or something of that sort. But I think continuous use has been a problem with the PI3 kinase inhibitors.
We'll be right back after this message.
This is Dr. Robert Ferris, Editor-in-Chief of Targeted Therapies and Oncology. Check out our next issue for expert insights on oncology care and the latest clinical updates.
We're back with Dr. Cyrus Khan of Allegheny Health Network talking about chronic lymphocytic leukemia. So, Dr. Khan, we were just talking about the FDA activity in the chronic lymphocytic leukemia space. Oral acalabrutinib was also recently approved. What can you tell us about this and the importance of having this option for patients?
So the capsule form had issues with absorption, so you couldn't take any PPIs or H2 blockers or antacids with it. And of course, if patients have bad GERD or bad ulcer disease, they couldn't be on the drug. But now it's a tablet formulation. So it's a different formulation and there's no problems in absorption. So even patients on a proton pump inhibitor or H2 blocker or antacids, they can easily take the drug. So that's pretty much the only difference. It just expands on the kind of patients that can take the drug.
Looking forward, several novel drugs have the FDA's attention in terms of fast-tracked and orphan drug designations. Are there any agents that you're watching closely right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of activity there. Of course, there's a few BTK inhibitors. One of them I'm looking forward to is pirtobrutinib, because patients do progress on these current crop of BTK inhibitors because of a certain mutation, which we'll talk about in a minute. But that same Bruin study also looked at CLL patients as well. And so I'm hoping that drug gets approved for patients who progress on the current crop of BTK inhibitors. So that's one drug. The bispecific T-cell engagers look promising in CLL, as does CAR T-cell therapy as well in CLL too in the future. So, and there's some other BCL2 inhibitors as well that are being looked at. So, a good pipeline ahead of us.